So, Hare Krishna, Hare Bo. I realize that we are not accustomed at this time of the day to be very, you know, peaceful. The day is practically over. But I would like to request that those of you who talk can maybe do this at another place. Maybe I will request, Bhakti Bihari, could you go around the crowds like a ghost and tell everyone, there are usually the old men are like to talk in the evening. So you can tell them, you can maybe put chairs outside for them and they can sit down outside in the street. Hare Krishna. I want to just very briefly talk about Krishna a little bit, about Bhagavatam.
Hare Hare. Hare Rama.
Today, I wish to describe to you the end of all battles, the most ferocious battle, greater than the battle of Kurukshetra, greater than second, third of World War. It was a battle between the forces of the darkness and the forces of the light. Between Vritasura, who had covered with his influence the whole universe, and Indra, the Lord of Light, with the heavenly warriors, the Devatas. On this battlefield, maybe the greatest miracle, which has the deepest consequences for those who listen carefully, it took place. It is when the main personality, the leader of the evil forces, Vritasura, laid down and said, "Take this life from me, this sinful life. Let my bodily heirs go into the earth. Let the earth to the earth. I am in love with my Lord and want to return to him. Let the body die and the soul dance with my Lord." Taha! These were words from the biggest demon. And as you hear about them, you will think if it was the right decision in the evening to come and hear about Vritasura, the greatest demon, who was the greatest devotee. But before I start, I will tell you about trouble in paradise. Indra, the Lord of the Devatas, had one problem. It was blindness. There are three forms of blindness, my dear devotees. Janmanda, that's the blindness from birth, where you can't see. Then comes Kamanda. It's that blindness which comes when you are overwhelmed by lust and you forget what is good and what is not good. And then there is Madananda. It means the blindness which comes about by pride. And it was this blindness which made Indra forgetful of the gratitude he owed to his Guru Maharaj. Listen. Indra was sitting in his royal assembly. It is described in Mahabharata that the hall has 1,000 pillars and it is 4 miles long. And there was a dancing going on between the most the greatest beauties of the heavens, Urvasi and Ramba and the Apsara danced. Indra was under a white umbrella and the Devatas praised him for his intelligence. Indra ki jai. Indra looked around. He was very, very satisfied. At that moment, Brihaspati, his guru, entered the assembly hall, and Indra chose to not pay attention to him, but look the other way. And immediately, Brihaspati understood, my disciple is so proud, he is blinded with pride. He has Madananda, means blindness due to pride. I must teach him a lesson. And he immediately disappeared from the assembly hall. Indra immediately understood, oh no, I wanted him to sit with me and see the dance. I wanted him to recognize how well I'm doing. But he has left me, and now soon there will be trouble, great trouble in my kingdom. So he immediately got down from his throne and began to go after Brihaspati. But Brihaspati went home. And when he saw Indra coming to say, sorry, I left. Brihaspati disappeared. Indra said, oh no. Now I have lost the blessings of my spiritual master. Whatever I will do from now on will be a failure. I'm trying to cross the ocean in a boat made of stone, and I will sink. Next day, the demons declared war on Indra, and they were beating the hell out of the brains of the demigods. The demigods, for the first time since long, were defeated by the demigods. Indra's advisor said, we cannot do anything. They have the blessings of their guru, Shukracharya, and we have lost the blessings of our spiritual master, Brihaspati. What should we do? What should we do? What should we do? My dear devotees, when you lose the blessings, you can try the same things. It will be a failure. When you lose blessings, you can take medicines. You will not become healthy. When you lose the power of blessings, your life cannot be successful. Whenever this happens, and you know the blessings which have protected my life and energized my life are withdrawn, you must stop whatever it is that you are doing and take on the humble role. This is what Indra did. He stopped everything and he started to pray to the Lord. What can we do? The Devatas are defeated. If there will be another battle, the demigods or the asuras will drive us out of our residences in the heavenly planets. What should we do? What should we do? What should we do? And Lord Narayan said two things. You should go to the great Saint Vishwarupa, who will pray, and you should go to Dadichi, a great saint, and asked him for his bones. Then you can make a weapon which is strong enough to fight with the devatas, with the demigods. By that time, I have to make cut a long story brief, Vritasura had appeared from the southeastern corner of the Yajna of Vishwarupa. Vritasura, who became the leader of the demons, was a demon born not from a father, not from a mother. He was born from the all-devouring fire. He came, and when he came, he roared that the whole universe shrieked in terror. And he grew and grew and grew and grew until his hairs licked the sky. He made one movement, and when he had ended the circle, There was a trident in his hand, which was so powerful that the whole universe shook in terror. Vritasura is described in the Vedas. It is said, Sa ima lokam avrinot tat vritasya vritatvam. Because this demon covered all the planetary systems, his name was Vritasura. And the Bhagavatam says, the sinful, extremely cruel son of Dvasta was called Vrita, one who covers, because he covered the whole world with suffering. There's another demon in the history of mankind. His name was Ravana, he who made the universe scream in terror and pain. Vritasura was bigger than Ravana. Once the devatas had tried to attack Vritasura, but he had just laughed at them and done this. And when he breathed in, he sucked in all the weapons of the 33 million devatas. And he chewed on them and he spit them out. And the devatas ran away in fear. And Vrita laughed and laughed. Come next time and I kill you. This time I only wanted to finish your weapons. He was very mad. Narayan said, there's only one weapon. You have to go to Dadichi and ask him for his bones. My dear devotees, imagine I would say Jai Gopal. In the interest of the movement, I need your liver. Give me your liver. Or let us say, Jai Gopal, your liver is not enough. I need your stomach, your most treasured organ, and your two lungs. Jai Gopal would say, I'm sorry, I mean, you are what you are, but this goes too far, you know. Goodbye. Isn't it? We would not, I don't want to even look at Jai Gopal. Maybe he has a severe faith crisis when I even mention this. You know, it's so unimaginable. Now imagine someone says, I want all your bones, that means the whole body. Dadichi playfully said, oh devatas, you know that death is extremely painful. It's so painful that one faints. The devata said, we know. But Vishnu himself told us to go to you and ask you for your bones. Tadichi said, this body is so dear to the living entity, it needs to be protected if one wants to live in this world. Even if Vishnu comes and asks us for this body, who could tolerate giving his own body? And not me. Then the devatas answered something. And I want to take you note. I want you to take note. O exalted brahmanas, pious persons like you, can give everything for the benefit of others, including their own bodies. And Dadichi said, don't worry, I will give you what you wish, because the Lord wants it. Either today or tomorrow, I will give you my body. My dear devotees, what have you given today as a sacrifice for others? Do you know that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, there are three active principles? Check your day and see if you have done any one of them. Namaruchi, taste the holy name. I think some of you have chanted today very nicely. Vaishnava Seva, serving Vaishnavas. I think many of you have done this. Now comes Jiva Daya, or compassion to other living entities. If a devotee is doing bhajan for himself, chanting so that he is advanced, reading so that he knows, puja so that the Lord is pleased on him, but the devotee remains attached to his ego, what good is his bhajan? What good is all his words which he speaks? Only a devotee who learns to be compassionate to others will make really spiritual advancement. A Vaishnava is described as para dukkha dukkhi. He's always unhappy to see the conditioned souls in the unhappy state of materialism. A non-devotee is described as para dukkha sukhi. He's happy when others are suffering. I remember when my exalted spiritual master was driven with a car through Sydney. There's one place called King's Cross, where all the night restaurants and night entertainments are there. And then when he was driving, being driven over King's Cross, he cried in his car. The driver saw he was crying and didn't know what to do, so he drove on. And later he asked, Prabhupada, you were crying, but what, something was flying in your eye or what? And the Prabhupada said, no, they don't know what they are doing in King's Cross. They go on the royal highway to lower planets. That is giving me pain. And he cried. This idea to not only think about our own benefit, but to sincerely do something for the benefit of others, forms the psychology of a devotee, and I would say is the foundation for good health. And you only, when your thoughts are only revolving about your mind and your arm and your stomach and your heart, which is not banging properly, or what is this? This is called bodily attachment. This is thinking I'm fully the body and the mind. You should see that you reach out beyond the miseries of self-absorption and do something for the benefit of others. Then you will grow. And here's another idea. Sacrifice in your spiritual life. My dear devotees, this body will die after 1 day or 2 days or 100 days. It will not live forever. It is meant to die. But if you can use this temporary body to reach something which is eternal, your life is truly glorious. Vishwanath says, the inhabitants of Bharatabhumi are born in low-class family, but if they offer me their deformed and afflicted bodies, which are not worthy even a penny, they can attain me the ocean of sweetness. If those born on this earth who give me their temporary bodies, they will attain me. I am supposed to be the cleverest, and I accept their offerings, and out of joy give myself to them together with my priceless ornaments, bracelets and crown. What is the worth of our bodies? €1.50, I heard, when you sell it. I mean, the organs, you can get a good price in China. But I mean, just the chemicals. Now, if you give this to Krishna, and you get Krishna with his golden crown and his ornaments, woohoo, priceless ornaments, you are very clever. In this way, the devotees are the most intelligent. They attain me who exist at all times, although the jivas are really non-existent because they lack a relationship with me. Is one not truly intelligent if in exchange for a penny one earns a gold coin? So if one uses this disgusting material body to attain my pure spiritual form, is he therefore not the most intelligent? What means to give Krishna your body, Prabhuji? Does he expect you to do a mystic yoga position or take a shamanic drug and then give up the body and say Krishna for you? No. To give your body to Krishna means you engage your ear in hearing about Krishna. You engage your tongue to chant about Krishna. You engage your mind to remember Krishna and your body to serve Him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, your body is tormented in hundreds of ways and will one day fall down dead. Then it will be turned to ashes on the stool of thorns, and everyone will see what it really is. It is therefore unwise to have attachment. O mind, hear my truthful words. There's only one medicine powerful enough to cure this material disease. Drink the nectar of Krishna's name incessantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Strength in your chanting. If you can offer your heart asking for service, please sing now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Oh,
Something into everything that you do, but I'm not sure if I put the right mood into this. It's a very, very, what? So he says the body is tormented in hundreds of ways, and it will one day fall down dead. Then it will be turned to ashes or the stool of worms, and everyone will see what it really is. It is therefore unwise to have attachment. O mind, hear my truthful words. There's only one medicine powerful enough to cure this material disease. Drink the nectar of Krishna's name incessantly. My dear devotees, there are many examples in our tradition of people who have really surrendered the temporary things for Krishna. Look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who gave up his household to go into the world and spread Krishna consciousness. Look at the six Goswamis who gave up palaces of gold. The Rupa Goswami had so much wealth that he filled, I think, a few boats just with gold coins and gave them to the poor, the brahmanas and so on. Look at Srila Prabhupada. He was 60 years old and his heart was not good. He suffered a heart attack, no? And on this way. What have you given? Or have you only taken? You can get more by giving. This is a spiritual rule. You can get less by taking. Dadichi understood. Krishna had told that the devatas needed his body for a mystical weapon, the Vajra. Vajra is it's like a lightning flash. This he understood the Lord wanted that, and the devatas needed that in their mission to get rid of the demon's rule. Then he, the son of Atava, resolved to give up his body. He sat down and became silent and stopped seeing with his eyes, hearing with his ears, smelling with his nose, and he concentrated fully on the Supreme Lord. He separated himself from the material elements and cut his material bonds, and he meditated on being Krishna's eternal servant. In this way, he gave up his mortal body and joined the pastimes of Lord Krishna. One of my godbrothers once gave a lecture of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it was described how the yogis give up their bodies by giving the material elements in their body to the big elements. And after the lecture came a question: how do you exactly do this? At that moment, there was a yogi in the back of the lecture in Krishna Balaram Mandir. He spoke perfect English and he said, "It's very simple. Look at me. He sat down, he meditated. All of a sudden, from the navel, burst forth a fire and devoured his whole body. So within minutes, at the end of the Bhagavata class and before breakfast, there was a smoldering heap of ashes on the floor of the Krishna Balaram temple. That was, he had style, no? He was not attached to the material body. Ananda Gopal, what do you think? Amazing, no? Amazing, no? He's not your body. So worthless. And I go somewhere else. It's anyways boring. Yes, that is style. Some style. You know. Was it painful for him? No. Prabhupada says it's been. For a devotee who is absorbed in Krishna, he's like a drunk person. When he dances and his garments fall off, he doesn't feel pain. It's relieving. So a person absorbed in Krishna consciousness is not feeling the pains. He says, "Of Prabhupada writes, of course, one must practice before one can open. Is overcome by death, but the perfect yogi, namely the devotee, dies in trance, thinking of Krishna. The bhakti yogi always thinks of Krishna. Therefore, at the time of death, he can very easily transfer himself to Krishna Loka without ever perceiving the pains of death." How enthusiastic Parikshit Maharaj must have felt. He must have thought, oh, it's so easy to change the body. It's all, this is like giving up an old shirt and saying, "Go Krishna, please give me a new shirt." You know, it's so simple. This is what Krishna consciousness brings you to. Dadichi Muni, a great soul, in order, he just gave up all this very, very, very easy. I was talking with Indra Dhumna Maharaj, a god brother, about this, and he said, "Maharaj, I have been so often now before the gate of death. Last time, 2 months ago, when I was diagnosed cancer in South Africa, that by now, when it actually comes to death, I would say, okay, what's my next assignment? What's the next service I have to do?" This is called preparation and not thinking you are the body. Most of us think about the body, go to the sun to brown, make our body brown, or we go in the morning and put some schmink on our useless body, you know, to make some good impression. And if there is any problem, then we run to the pharmacy to get all kinds of medicines. And we never think of using this body for self-realization and Krishna consciousness. Dadichi gives an example. When he was lying dead, the devatas brought a Kamadenu cow. The Kamadenu cow licked his body. All the muscles disappeared. All the organs disappeared. And left was the bones. And they took the bones to the heavenly abode where already Vishvakarma waited. The architect, the greatest maker, who took the bones to make the vraja. There were some remnants and he made some bows and arrows. And at that time, the power of the Lord entered into this mystical weapon, which became exalted. Because this came from the great soul Dadichi, it was equipped with the power of Vishnu, and it was crafted potent by Vishvakarma. This is such a powerful weapon that Lord Krishna says in the Gita, of all the weapons, I am the Raja. Indra said, thank you. He got on the back of Airavata. He called his army together, and together, shining with confidence, they marched to the battlefield. The great rishis and sages went next to them and gave them blessings. Indra was so shiny when he rode off to kill Vritasura. This battlefield, my dear devotees, was at the banks of the heavenly Namada River, or the heavenly planets. It took place at the end of Satya Yuga, just before Treta Yuga started. That means, 120,400,000 years have passed since then. However, the lessons from the battlefield, the lessons from the battlefield are timeless and totally unexpected. Indra rode, marching in pride, and we know it's not easy when you are Madananda, blinded by pride. And what happened on that battlefield, I will tell you tomorrow. No, it cannot be. It is very, very powerful. It's very, very, very interesting. Hare Krishna. We will just end this katha. Please just stay for 2 minutes to sing. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Oh Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Everybody please. Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Is this correct? I on my part, thank you.